Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. Well, through the end of the year, we will, Lord willing, be here each Sunday and sharing and I'll speak on Revelation some, the book of Revelation. We're going to continue to go through that. And then in between, we've got some other things going on. And so it'll be a little hit and miss on that. Today will be a miss from the book of Revelation. We're going to talk about Jesus, but in a little different way. So I would like to dive into something a bit different, but it's very simple, but very powerful and really important. Remember, when the officials in Babylon, where Daniel was and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were there as captives, and the officials were jealous of Daniel because the king was about to make him ruler over the entire kingdom with him. And before that happened, the officials knew that was in the king's mind, so they tried to find some sort of accusation toward Daniel. They couldn't find any because he had an extraordinary spirit and he was diligent in all of his work. So they had to come up with something else. Remember that? And so they created a document that said if anyone is found worshiping any other god, making requests to any god beside the king, you'll be thrown into a lion's den. And they went behind Daniel's back to the king, presented that to him. He signed it, and he wished he didn't sign it. Later, but he signed it. And as soon as that was done, this is where this verse takes place. This is Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the document that forbade him from worshiping God was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, toward the east, or toward the west for him. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. I love this guy. Daniel's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, probably my favorite in the Old Testament, he and David. But Daniel knows that this document's been signed, and if he continues to do what he normally does, which is pray three times a day with his window open, thanking God that he will be in big trouble, and he does it. He opens the windows just like he always does, gets down on his knees as he normally does, and he starts to praise God and to thank God. And of course, he gets thrown into a lion's den. The Lord protects him, sends an angel, grabs the mouth of the lions. I can't imagine what that experience was like. I've been around lions. Wow, you need an angel to do that. And he is delivered, set free. Daniel was a rebel with a cause of giving thanks and praise to the Lord. His cause was to thank God, and no one was going to stop him from that. Even if his life were taken, he was going to continue to do that. So powerful. Instead of complaining, Daniel had a lot of things he could have been complaining about. He was taken from his homeland as a teenager, shipped 600 miles or so to Babylon, forced to learn another language, forced to eat food. He was supposed to be forced to eat food. He requested that he stay with the diet that he was currently with, and they agreed to that. But he was forced to do things that he didn't want to do and taken from his homeland. He was a refugee. He was a slave in a sense because he was captured and brought and made to serve the king. Yet he doesn't have a lifestyle of complaining and grumbling. He has a lifestyle of praising and giving thanks right in the midst of that. And then when he's accused falsely and when there's a trap set for him, he continues to not complain and grumble, but to give thanks and to give praise. Really powerful example for us right here with this guy, being thankful. He chose to give thanks. In the middle of whatever circumstance he was in, he is giving thanks. And setting something out there for you and I of a way to live, of a way to be free, of a way to be really full of life and joy as well. Thanksgiving and thanking someone is pretty powerful. You know that feeling when someone thanks you for what you have done for someone else, whether it's your kids or your spouse or someone else. That feeling is amazing. When you thank someone, what you are also saying to that person is, I see you, and I appreciate you, and I recognize you. And though God doesn't really come out and just say it, like, I want you to do this because I like that, he does show us that this is something he really, really appreciates, is when we are thankful and we see Jesus doing that after he healed the 10 lepers, remember? Only one of them came back. And Jesus here is the perfect representation of the Father. He's carrying God's heart. He is God. And he looks at the one who gives thanks. And he says, where are the other nine? Where's everyone else when they should be giving thanks and giving glory to God? And there's just one of you. I don't understand why that isn't in your heart. God loves it when we're thankful. He really, really appreciates it. And Thanksgiving is not only a holiday for our nation, it's a great one, by the way. Thank you, George Washington, for the idea, for Sarah Hale for trying for 17 years to get it to become a holiday, and then Abraham Lincoln finally saying, let's make it a holiday. I'm grateful for this. I've observed in life and through the scriptures that the thankful and the grateful people are rebels in a culture that's the opposite of thankfulness and gratitude. So you're going to be a rebel, be a thankful person. And you will absolutely rebel against everything in this culture that is self-focused and complaining-oriented. We are supposed to be rebels like Daniel, who find ourselves thanking God all the time. I've also recognized that people who are the most thankful are those who aren't complainers, and they also tend to be the happiest people that I know. The most content, the most joyful. You find a complaining person, you can think about it right now. People who complain all the time, what are their lives really like? They're miserable. That's exactly right. You're miserable when you're complaining. You are joyful when you're thankful. You start focusing on the right things instead of the wrong things. Start highlighting and appreciating, acknowledging and saying, I see you, God, for all that you have done and all that you're doing. It's so powerful. It is easy to complain, easy to gripe, easy to moan and groan about stuff, easy to whine. That's that selfish nature. That's that old man fully alive, whining and complaining. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. In the Passion Translation, it says, live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, holding out the words of eternal life. By not complaining, by not grumbling, you look different. You stand out. It here says you prove basically yourselves as a child of God. How about that? I tell you what, if I find myself in a place of grumbling, of complaining about, there's lots of things to complain about, the government, certain systems, how I'm treated, that you go down the line, you get into that mode, into that lane, and It's a check because I am not shining. I am not proving to be a child of God. I find myself doing the exact opposite sometimes. And the Holy Spirit's so good at highlighting that and saying, you're on the wrong road, buddy. You're on the wrong path. Get rid of, jettison that stuff. Get your eyes off of what has been done to you and focus on what has been done for you. You'll hear me say that many times. Always, always, a million times more things have been done for you than have ever been done to you. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've been through. Get our eyes focused on what's been done for us. Start giving thanks. It's how we're supposed to live. It's really interesting to me that we appear as lights in the world just by not complaining. How about that? I want thankfulness to be the climate and the culture that we have here in this church. That the culture is one of thankfulness. Oh, those people are always thanking God for stuff. They're always keeping their eyes on God, thanking Him, grateful, appreciative. Misery sounds the life of a complainer, while peace and joy fills the life of the grateful. You know, I know that Chuck, who is a cardiologist, probably uses the EKG fairly often. Checking the condition of a heart. I think Thanksgiving, TKG, is the thing that lets us know the condition of our spiritual heart. If you're a thankful person, you're usually going to be very healthy spiritually. If you're a complaining person, you're usually very unhealthy spiritually. Thanksgiving. We want to be thankful. And you are a thankful people. The human race, though, tends to be pretty slow, and Thanksgiving isn't a natural thing that comes to people. I was looking in the scriptures, I started thinking, I wonder when thanks was ever written down in the Bible, or the first person that ever thanked God. You ever thought about that? I started diving in this week on that, and it took a long time. I was a little surprised, actually. I'm sure that people probably did give thanks, and it's not recorded. But the first one that's recorded is Leah. Leah, one of Jacob's wives. That's a long time after creation. About 2,000 years. Imagine if that really, if she really is the first person. 2,000 years after creation before someone starts giving thanks to God. I hope that's not true. I think Abraham and Enoch probably did. It's just not recorded. But after Leah, it's like God gives a short little nudge to let us know this is what we should be doing because it becomes one of the offerings. There are many offerings that were instituted under the law. And one of them is the thank offering. The thank offering. So I think God is saying, okay, here's some things to do, but here's one to remind you to be thankful. Be thankful. Show gratitude. Be appreciative. God gives us a God makeover when we turn to Him, receive His Spirit, ask Jesus to come into our heart, ask Him to forgive us of our sins, identify with His death, burial, resurrection, give our lives to Him. There's this makeover that begins to happen on the inside of us. And thankfulness is one of those things that starts becoming an overflow out of our lives. That is part of a believer. You can identify a believer sometimes because they're a bright light shining if they're not grumbling and complaining, if they're thankful. God wants us to be this type of person, to behave this kind of way. And sometimes I can tell if someone is a believer. This is just even in the last 2 weeks. I was someplace very beautiful. My wife and I went to Hawaii for the first time to visit our son who's on a base there in the Air Force, and I've never been there. And I was stunned by watching these mountains drop down right to the ocean. Spectacular rainbows every single day. Clear water, sea life all over the place. Birds, everything flowers, smells fragrant. And I'm honestly, I was just looking around, just gawking. And I'd see people who were other, I don't know who they were, but other tourists or whatever. And I'd say things like, isn't that amazing? And they look at me like I've got two heads. That's phenomenal. Isn't this incredible? I did that several times with several people. And none of them had the excitement or the awe that I had. It was just like, yeah, you know, that's a mountain. Or that's a bird. That's a flowering palm tree. I felt so different. I found myself worshiping more often the whole time I was there because it's like, God, wow, this is something that you've done here. This is amazing. And I think we are supposed to be believers. You are this way. When you're a believer, it's like you start seeing color for the first time and really. You start recognizing that everything that has been made by God, my Father, who loves me, and it's for us to enjoy. Wow. Then you see the design and the what is involved, the detail, the creativeness of God. It's, oh my goodness, I am in awe, God, of what you've done. Thank you. This is beautiful. You're amazing. This is incredible. Believers, the awakened ones, I think this is part of what Adam and Eve were doing in the garden with God, was he was showing them all the things he'd made. And I think they were in awe, and he was explaining how he did it probably. I'm guessing, speculating. But I think there was a lot of this exchange and this awe. I mean, think of Adam naming everything on the planet, all the animals, including fish. God might have taken him on some supernatural scuba diving missions to do that. But I think this revealing of the power of God and him showing mankind things to cause awe and worship and gratefulness, thankfulness, is a part of who we have been made to be grateful like that. And God has had to deal with a lot of whining over time. If you're a parent in here, you know what I'm going to say. Have you ever had your kids, heard your kids whine and complain about something? Never, right? You never have. But that is because it's part of the fall. It's part of that natural, unredeemed, pre-redeemed nature to complain, to grumble, to whine. So your kids are going to do that until they get saved. Or you don't allow them to. But that just comes out. But when they're thankful, oh my goodness, that is a wonderful thing when that happens. But God has taken what we've gone through as parents with kids complaining about something. They're not seeing the big picture. They're not seeing that the reason they can't eat candy all day because it's not good for them. They're not seeing that. They just want what they want. Think about God. Times whatever we've been through by a billions. Billions of whining and complaining and grumbling. It's what we, when you read the Bible, especially the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, Joshua, not before you get to Joshua, the complaining and the whining. They want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to slavery. They're just complaining, just is it over? It's like a look, a glimpse at the heart of the unredeemed person is to complain. God's been through this a lot. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, in every kind of circumstance. It doesn't say here, for everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In every situation, we can find things to thank God for regardless of how hard a situation might be. We can find things to bless God and to thank him for what he has done, even if what I'm needing hasn't happened yet. I'm going to thank him for what he has done. I'm going to thank him for who he is. I'm going to thank him for what he did for me yesterday and he's doing right now. Having that type of mindset, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. We all are looking for and desire, and it's a right thing, for God's will. What is his will for my life? Yes, he has a plan for all of our lives. And it's great to press into that and ask him, What is that? Show me, lead me on this path that you have for me. But here it says what his will is for us, in part, is that we would be people who give thanks in everything. That's God's will for our life, to be people who are giving thanks all the time. Thankful people, genuinely, authentically, not just by rote, not just saying words, but being a thankful people. This is the will of God for our lives. Psalm 136 goes through, I mean, if you read this psalm, it's unlike any other psalm. It starts out by saying, give thanks to the Lord. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. Give thanks to him because his, what is everlasting? Loving kindness is everlasting, so give thanks to him. And it repeats it over and over, and it starts showing us so many things to give him thanks for. Whole chapter full of give him thanks. And then in Psalm 100, God provides this. Let me just read this. This is the first few verses of Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. He gives a clue related to entering his presence. I wrote a kid's book called Dulu, and in there I describe these kids that there's walking up the mountain to meet God. That there's a huge gate they can't get through. They can't get around it, they can't get under it, over it. And then he shows them things of what God has done for them through their parents and their grandparents and other things. And thankfulness starts coming out. As they start to just recognize, be thankful, the gates open. And that really is a bit of what's described here. We enter the gates of God through thanks, through thanksgiving. His presence joins us as we thank him. That's amazing. You know, the gates of thanksgiving, his courts with praise. I think these two things are two of the primary things we do corporately in worship on Sundays, are these two things, thanking him and praising him. And it says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Thanksgiving is a gate opener. I also think that we can thank ourselves out of a pit of despair. When things feel hopeless, when the walls feel like they're coming in on us, when it feels like there's no way out, or I'm just in despair. Find something to be thankful for. Start saying it. I'm telling you what, it'll set your being in a different mode. Starts getting you out of world mentality and really evil mindset and starts setting it on the Lord and watch him deliver you and provide steps out of that pit. Ways to get out. Thankfulness. A great question to ask daily to yourself, what am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? Have we created new things to be thankful for or discovered new things to be thankful for? Let's thank him for things I've thanked him for over and over again, but let me get creative, Lord. Let me thank you for things I've not ever thanked you for. Now, some of those come for me as I'm driving and I'm thinking, you know what? There were hundreds or thousands of people that paved this road for me I'm driving on right now. I don't know when they did it. I don't know how long ago it was. But I've driven on nasty, tough gravel roads, especially in Africa, for lots of miles and hours where you're going 2 or 3 miles an hour, maybe 5 miles an hour. It takes hours to get somewhere. And here I go, here, whoosh, minutes, because someone paved a road for me. Thank you, Lord, for whoever those people are. Thank you, God, for the road pavers. Thank you, Lord, for, I do this one often too, although I want to be more creative. But thank you, Lord, for bathrooms, indoor plumbing, HVAC. Thank you, God, for cars. I think back 1,000 years ago, if any of the richest people on the planet could see you in your car today, they would be shocked and stunned at what we have. that we get to be transported from one place to another so quickly. Airplanes, it's a whole other world. We have so much to be thankful for. A life of thanksgiving to God. I think Thanksgiving, you know, there was something when Cornelius was thanking God and praising God. It built some sort of monument spiritually where God recognized that and sent an angel to his house. By his alms and giving and his thanksgiving to the Lord, something happened to the Lord's heart when he sees that, that God responds in such a powerful way. What if we built monuments to God in the spiritual realm of thanksgiving to the Lord? Not natural ones, not physical ones, but thanksgiving to the Lord. Thanking him for all these, and recognizing his handiwork in so many different ways throughout the earth in our lives. Hebrews 13, 15 says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. There's a definition of praise here that's a little different. Praise is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Praising God by giving thanks to him. That can be a sacrifice that the Lord loves, that he feels, smells, senses, hears, maybe eats. He doesn't eat turkey or prime rib, apparently. God is spirit. He eats the praises and thanksgiving from his people. He feeds on it in a wonderful way. It's something that blesses him. He's fine without it, but he loves it. God loves it when we praise him, when we thank him. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing, you've been instructed, you've received Jesus, you've been instructed in his ways. Now let that gratitude inside of you overflow. Let it come out of you. Let it just flow out of you. There's this gratitude all the time. Often people will ask me, how are you doing today? How are things going for you? Especially if someone I haven't seen in a long time. How is everything? And usually this is my answer. I'm a man, so my words are fairly short. I'm doing good. My staff makes fun of me because I say, I'm doing fine, doing good. Then I'll usually say, I'm very thankful. I have so much to be thankful for. Even if there are things that aren't going well, I have a lot to be thankful for. Every single one of us have a lot to be thankful for. We want to endeavor to be a compulsive, habitual thanker, full of gratitude. It is so refreshing. It is so refreshing when people thank you. It's so refreshing to God when we are thankful to him. Let's continue to build that culture here of thankfulness to the Lord, thanking one another as well. When you see someone doing something, even if you don't see them do it, but you know they did it. I was thinking, I just want to say thanks to Dave Martin, who was up here earlier. You know, he gets here basically before light every day and comes in here, straightens the chairs, out there picking up leaves or garbage every day. I saw him this morning. It's why the parking lot looks perfect. You won't find a leaf or any trash. Dave is here before you get up, picking the place up. Thank you, Dave, wherever you are. I think you're in the room. Yes. I was thinking while we were worshiping today, I'm just saying, thank you, Lord, for the media people that are putting the words up here during the songs. Thank you. Really appreciate that. All of our sound people and our camera operators, so much goes on for what's going on here. And just by thanking people for the little things, the big things, what it does, it's getting out of ourselves. Getting out of ourselves, saying, I see you, I recognize you, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for what you've done. It is an incredible thing. Hey, how about cushioned chairs? Right? So many things to be thankful for. The list goes on and on and on. So many things I don't necessarily appreciate till you don't have it. Right? And then you really appreciate those things. Why don't we end the service this way? Kylan, could you guys come up? I want to pray for us. But I thought we'd do this song again. We, them. No singing for me. I'm going to sing, but the Lord loves my voice. Don't they have amazing voices up here? It's incredible. The voices, the talent, the skill. I'm so thankful. But they're going to sing a song that has some to do with Thanksgiving. We already sang it today. Thankful for Jesus, for what he's done. Communion was that part of remembering what has been done for us by Jesus. But I would just encourage you to, as we're singing this, to begin just thanking the Lord personally, internally. Having that internal Thanksgiving holiday that keeps going on every day of thanking God for something. Thanking God for what he's done to get you to where you are. Thanking God for your spouse. Thanking God for your kids. Thanking God for your parents. Thanking God for where you get to live, for that cushioned chair you're sitting on. Whatever it is, let's just thank God and put this into action here today before we leave between us and the Lord. And also, as you see other people as you leave, maybe it's someone who serves here, in kids ministry or parking lot or out in the lobby, our prophetic teams, healing teams, all of that, you know, feel free to just thank them. Or we have this culture of thanking other people as well. It's a beautiful thing all the way around. Lord, we want to be those type of people where you don't have to keep nudging us saying, give me a thank offering. But Lord, we would have an overflowing river of gratitude that would come out of us all the time. Lord, I hear in the first of the line, apologize and repent of, turn from complaining and grumbling about things I can't control, about things around that are wrong, grumbling, complaining about the slowness maybe of how you do things, Lord. Lord, forgive me, forgive us in any way where we have resembled those Israelites in the wilderness that were not focusing on being thankful, but were grumbling, complaining. Lord, we don't want to be that kind of sound in your ears. We want to be the sound of gratitude, the sound of thankfulness, the sound in the morning and the sound in the evening that you love to hear that is grateful. Lord, I pray for every one of us that our hearts would be overflowing with gratitude to you. And may this be something that's set inside of us, like Daniel, that we respond in this way in every difficulty, in every great situation, every hard thing, every wonderful situation. Even in the horrible situations, Lord, that we would find things to thank you for in the midst of that, knowing that you hold our lives, you are watching over us, you are doing things we cannot see, you've done so much before, and you're not going to let us go, you're not going to let us down. Lord, I pray that we would have these hearts, fully redeemed lives, fully awakened sons and daughters that are grateful for you at all times.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.